We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now as we meditate upon another extremely precious section of the Word you've given us, and also looking at one of the glories that you presented to us in the volume of nature, the beautiful humpback whale. I pray that you strengthen our faith in our Savior and our Heavenly Father who created all things as we study his creation. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 96, verse 1. O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. It has been our privilege, at least the older among us, in our generation, to see revealed in God's creation one of the most amazing things and one of the most amazing scientific discoveries in the history of the world. The oddity is that the scientists weren't even the ones who discovered it. There were three things that God used to bring this discovery about. And if you picture in your mind a triangle with the three corners, the first corner would be a picture of a little sailboat sailing on the Bermuda Reefs in the darkness of night. The second section would be a picture of the German U-boat submarines sailing the sea at night with deadly attacks. And the third scene would be a mother raising four children at home, but having a love for animals and a degree in music. So it starts out on the sea in the darkness of night in the Bermuda Reefs. A husband and a wife caught out there all alone, too far away from shore to get in. So they had to spend the night alone out on the ocean. Happened this way. It happened as the sun was setting at dusk in the Bermuda Reefs. Roger Payne and his wife Katie were preparing to spend the night alone in their small sailboat far offshore. Little did they realize what this night was going to bring. We'll let Roger tell it. This is a quote. At dusk, I saw in the stern sheets of our small sailboat braced against the stanchion and using the last light of day to take a final sight on Bermuda's Gibbs Hill Lighthouse, 35 miles to the northeast. We were too far from land to return this evening, and so my wife Kate and I would have to spend the night at sea by ourselves. Bermuda's treacherous reefs are difficult enough to navigate in broad daylight, let alone in darkness, which would make them impossible. As night deepened, a familiar feeling came over me, one of loneliness at sea. I felt at one with other solitary watchers elsewhere on the earth, shepherds, sentinels, and herdsmen who huddled alone beneath the same stars, feeling the same night close around them as we were feeling. To break the mood, Katie and I got down to work. We brought the boat about onto the other tack and pointed her as high into the wind as we could so that she nodded gently with the waves. After lowering a pair of hydrophones into the sea, I switched on the amplifiers and listened in stereo through the headphones. We were no longer alone. Instead, we were surrounded by a vast and joyous chorus of sounds that poured up out of the sea and overflowed its rim. The spaces and vaults of the ocean, like a festive palace hall, reverberated and thundered with the sounds of whales, sounds that boomed, echoed, swelled, and vanished as they wove together like strands in some fast and tangled web of glorious sound. I felt instantly at ease, all sense of desolation brushed aside by the sheer ambulance of it all. All that night we were borne along by those lovely, dancing, yodeling cries, sailing on a sea of unearthly music. Often during that night off Bermuda, I thought of how the oceans had once heard these wild cries, how once the echo chamber of the seas reverberated to the haunting songs of the whales. Then I thought of what it is like today in many of the whales' former haunts. Silence, lifeless, impressing one most with a sense of what the whales had lost. That was the first big breakthrough in the darkness of night. Second big breakthrough came also on the seas, mostly at night. German U-boats. These were German submarines. U-boats, the U dash, and then a certain number given to it. German submarines were some of the most deadly weapons of the enemies of the Germans against the United States in World War II. They traveled mostly during the daytime underwater with a periscope up to keep track of convoys. Convoys were a bunch of ships carrying supplies across the ocean to the United States soldiers that were fighting overseas. And the U-boats attacked these convoys, sinking as many as they possibly could. They would follow the convoys underwater during the daytime. At night, they would surface. And the gray subs were literally invisible at night on the surface of the waters. And while the United States thought that the attacks were coming from underneath the waters, they were not. The German boats, U-boats, were on top of the surface, and they were firing their torpedoes at will, literally at will. During one night attack, U-124 entered a convoy and during 10 minutes of action, fired 6 torpedoes. That's all they could load at one time, 4 in the front, 2 in the back. Then they would submerge and refill the tanks. But they had 6 they could fire. They fired 6 shots, 5 of them hit. The sixth one just barely missed by inches when the sailor noticed the torpedoes coming after him and the wake they left behind them. And he ordered the boat to turn, and that 6th torpedo missed by a matter of inches. But this was the total for the 10-minute period. Torpedo number 1 sunk a freighter 9,000 tons. Torpedo number 2 sunk a ship 6,000 tons. Torpedo number 3 sunk a freighter 6,000 tons. Torpedo number 4 sunk a freighter 7,000 tons. Torpedo number 5 sunk a freighter 5,000 tons. 6 shots, 5 hits in 10 minutes. Not a bad day's work for only 10 minutes. One of the most famous wolf pack attacks, these were when they traveled alone, they were called lone wolves. When they traveled in groups, they were called wolf packs. They were deadly. One of the most amazing ones took place between the nights of October 16th to the 19th in 1940. The convoy was SC-7, and it was repeatedly attacked by 7 boats, sinking 20 ships out of 34 in the convoy. 20 out of 34, down they went. Then there was the famous attack of a convoy entitled The Night of the Long Knives. The famous convoy battle had 3 night attacks, and 8 German U-boats sank 38 ships out of 3 different convoys. How many U-boats were lost? None. It was a bonanza. The U-boats were fighting at will, and there was nothing that the United States could do to stop them. But then, suddenly, the worm turned. And a summary of the history of the U-boats attacks is shocking. It reads this way. With only 7,000 survivors from a total strength of 39,000, that means of all the sailors that were sailing on these U-boats, the total number during the war, World War II, was 39,000. Only 7,000 lived. All the others were sunk. An amazing turnabout. With only 7,000 survivors from a total of strength of 39,000, the German U-boat arm had suffered the worst defeat of any branch of service in any war in history. Well, why did that happen? And what does that have to do with this miracle of the humpback whales? An answer is this. The United States developed radar. They developed radar, and what this meant was that at night, they could shoot their radar beams out, and they could spot German submarines before the Germans had any idea that warships were after them. And they were bearing down at full speed before the U-boats even knew they were there. And it all had to do with radar. And this is where a man called Fred Wathington enters the picture. During World War II, Fred was working for the United States Navy recording sounds under the water. And he had microphones called hydrophones, and the object was to try to learn to detect German submarines. That was the object of it. But there was a blessed offshoot. And the blessed offshoot was that while Fred was recording sounds of submarines, working with that, he also recorded songs of the whales. And Fred had a love for whales. And so he took all of these recordings that he was making when he was working for the U.S. Army trying to spot submarines. He took these recordings and he saved them. And he didn't tell anybody about them because he thought if the word got out about this, whale hunters would get a hold of it and use his recordings to find whales and kill them. So that's point number two. So first of all, in unveiling this amazing, amazing story, miracle, God used this sailboat out there sailing the Bermuda Shorts at night, husband and wife. Then he used Fred recording whale sounds while working for the U.S. Navy. And the third piece of the picture was a woman, Katie. She was the wife of the man who was out there on that ship, sail ship at night. She pops up again. A woman who was busy raising 4 children, and in her few spare moments, listening to the sounds that Fred had given them. Because you see, Fred was very interested in whales too, and so were Katie and her husband. They were interested in whales. And a friend of both of theirs knew this, and so he introduced Fred to these other two. And so the three people are sitting there at night talking, and Fred said, "Would you be interested in hearing some of the sounds that I've recorded about whales?" And then they started to listen to him, and they were amazed. It was a bonanza here. The short thing of it is, when Katie and her husband left that night, Fred gave them all of the recordings of whales that he had made during his time in the U.S. Navy. And he told her, especially Kate, listen to these sounds and go and save the whales. So when Katie started listening to these things, she was a mother of four, raising four children at home and caring for a husband. And in her spare time, which was very limited, she started listening to these sounds. And she had the feeling that they were songs, that they weren't just random songs. She says this, this is a quote, "I majored in music with biology as a secondary, but I was sort of my own person, really. I was always, always watching and listening to animals." And so she took the tapes home, and with her knowledge of music, which most of the scientists either didn't have or didn't think of, with her knowledge of music and her interest in whales, she figured out these whales are singing songs. And over the years, she learned the songs. And she could sing right along with the recordings of the whales. This is amazing. Nobody knew this before. They knew whales made sounds, but they didn't have the slightest idea that these things were singing songs. And so over the following years, these are some of the amazing truths that appeared of these humpback whales singing their songs. I'll just read them at random. "Bird songs are high-pitched and last for only a few seconds. Humpback whale songs vary widely in pitch, and they last between 6 minutes and 30 minutes. Some of these songs are a half hour long. If you record the song of a hummingbird, or of a humpback whale rather, and speed it up 14 times past its normal rate, it sounds like the song of a bird." I'm not sure what to make of that, but it's rather amazing. "When you go out to listen to a humpback sing, you may hear just a soloist. It might be just one whale singing. Or you might hear a duet. Sometimes two of them sing together. Or you might hear a trio. Sometimes three of them sing together. Or you might hear a whole orchestra full of them. And when you hear that, it's going to sound kind of hodgepodge, because they're not singing together when you got all these whales. They're each singing the same song, but they start at different times. But they all sing the same song. It's amazing. Another amazing fact, unlike birds that sing the same songs year after year, the humpback whales sing a different song every year. You know, I love to hear the cardinals sing, and I love to hear the red-winged blackbird sing. One of the favorite sounds of spring for me is the singing of the red-winged blackbird. And it's the same every year. I just love it. And the cardinal's beautiful song, same every year. I just love it. But the whales, they never sing the same song 2 years in a row. It's always a different song. They're composing. The humpback whales are composing songs. And if you listen to the songs one year and then the next year, a lot of times they're similar, but they're different. But if you take a song that they've sung this year and go back for 20 years and listen to them sing a song, the difference is the difference between the Beatles and Beethoven. There's such a wide, wide, wide variety of songs that these humpback whales are making up. Nobody knew this before. So what do we get? What do we get out of this? Well, you look at what Scripture has to sing about songs. And here are just a few Scripture passages that talk about this. Psalm 33, verse 3, "Sing unto the Lord a new song." Sort of a new song. Well, why would you sing a new song? Why not sing the same song every year and save yourself a lot of trouble? Well, these songs were sung in praise to God. And there's always new things to sing about. God lets handfuls on purpose fall to us every single day. And to sing the same song over and over and over again would be kind of a mockery. Because there's so many new things to sing about. We've got so many ways and things to be thankful for. So sing unto the Lord a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. Okay, that's one. Psalm 40, verse 3. A lot of these come from the Song of Songs, which or Song of Solomon, rather, and then the songs that he's taken from, which shouldn't surprise us. Songs are songs of praise, the Psalms are to God. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Okay, think about that. Holy Spirit says that God has put a new song in our mouth, and the reason is to praise God. Now let's look into the scientific world. The scientists now, because of the work that Kate did, have glommed onto this, and they know that the whales are singing songs, but they don't know why. Well, I can't understand why these whales are singing these songs. Well, you know the answer to it. Why are they singing? They're praising their Creator, that's why. Sing unto the Lord a new song, even praise unto our God. That's what the whales are doing. They know more than we do sometimes. Psalm 96, verse 1, we just read that. That's our text. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. All the earth? You mean the forests are supposed to sing a new song to God? You mean the oceans are? The trees? The grass, the flowers, all these animals, these all things are singing praises to God? Yeah, they are. We would not know this unless the Holy Spirit told us. What we do know is this: God is a living God. And I don't believe anything in the creation is without life. The living God creates living things. Well, how can a stone be a living thing? I don't know. There's a lot of things I don't know. The mysteries of God are unfathomable. He's not told us everything. But I believe the songs are singing praises to God too. Remember, there's different kinds of life on this earth. Not all the same. I believe every animal. I believe every tree. I believe every frog. I believe everything in the whole creation is singing songs to God. And if they're not right now, they're going to be at the last day when Jesus Christ comes back, frees his people, liberates his creation, and destroys the work of the devil. In the beginning of creation, you know, God created everything in 6 days. And at the end of 6 days, he looked at everything and made, and behold, it was all very good. Now the devil is not going to be able to destroy anything that's very good. He can't. And the Bible never, ever, 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 ever indicates that God's going to annihilate the creation and start all over again from nothing. Never indicates that, because that's not going to happen. God is going to take this creation that's under the curse, and he's going to renovate it. And he's going to bring it back a trillion, trillion, trillions times better than it was in the Garden of Eden before Adam and Eve fell into sin. Jesus Christ did not come back to bring us up to what Adam was before he sinned. He came back to raise us far, far, far above what Adam was. And where Adam was only a creature of God, Christ has made us sons and daughters of God. We're members of the family. We are partakers of the divine nature. The Holy Spirit is going to fill us with his fullness. And at that day, the whole creation is going to join together in one loud chorus, and it's going to sing the praises of God, and the devil can't stop it. That's what's going on. And so the humpback whales are kind of a precursor to this. They're singing praises to God right now. It's beautiful. And we never knew that. We never knew that until a mother of four in her spare time, who majored in music, was listening to these recordings, the recordings that were made in World War II, to spot U-boats. And she realized there's a pattern here. These whales are singing songs. Yeah. The whales were recorded, created on day number 5. And for 6,000 some years, nobody knew that they were singing songs. It took that long to discover this. And so then you have to wonder what else is going on in the creation out there that we're unaware of. And the answer is, there's a lot. There's a lot going on out there. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. And now we see through a glass darkly, but then we're going to see as we are seen and know as we are known. And then we're going to be living in the new heaven and new earth. We're going to understand what these creatures that God has made, the whole creation, what they're all about. I can't wait for that day. I just love nature. So, Isaiah 42, verse 10, sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein. Everything in the sea? Singing praises to God? Yeah, that's happening. It's happening right now. We never knew that before, but it's happening. So, one of the blessed remarks, conclusions of all this, by the way, is this. One scientist put it this way, and it's beautifully put. He said this, humpback whales are an encouraging sign that there's still at least some intelligent life on this earth. That's not bad. That's not bad. Especially when you look at what's happening in our government today. So to kind of wrap things up, going back to Romans 8 again, this passage is telling us a lot more than what we generally realize. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The manifestation means the making evident of. The whole creation is earnestly waiting for the children of God to become visible. And that's going to happen when Jesus Christ comes back and raises his own from the dead with glorified bodies. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And we're going to be brought by the Holy Spirit to the marriage altar as a fitting bride for Jesus Christ in all his glory. That's so far beyond our comprehension, it's not possible. We can just believe it and be thankful for it. For the creature itself was made subject to vanity, not willingly. The creation never did anything to deserve this. But by reason of him who subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Groaning and travailing, these are birth pangs terms. The earth right now is moving toward a new birth. And the creation is giving birth pangs, waiting for this to finally happen. And when it happens, it's going to be a beautiful thing. The Holy Spirit tells us that the whole creation is groaning and travailing, and the new birth is just about to become. It's going to be renovated. We are going to be living in the kingdom of glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the whole creation is going to be there with us. So now we know that humpback whales are singing. And at the end of the last day, all creation is going to join them and sing with them. And then the truth will become evident in him, which is Jesus Christ. The tribes of Adam boast more blessings than their fathers lost. the beautiful humpback whales sing unto the Lord a new song. And they do.